In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins who wait. But that is what the church does. She waits. She waits joyfully. She waits expectantly. She waits for her bridegroom. For he is her crown and her joy. Her life centers on him who gave her life. Her faith centers on him. She waits, trusting that he will keep his word and will come soon. Year after year, decade after decade, century after century, millennia after millennium, she waits. Her faith undimmed, her hope strong, her lamp filled. She waits in the darkness, but peers out into that darkness, waiting for his brilliance to shatter the night. She knows he is coming soon. He has not lied to her before, and he will not start now. His word sustains her. His word sustains you, for you are this church. You are the church who is waiting for your bridegroom to come and to bring you into the realms of heaven. You are waiting for him and for him alone, even as you sit here in the darkness. For you see the darkness of cancer. You see the darkness of old age and frailty slowly creeping into your body, slowly hindering you, or perhaps your loved ones. You can't stop it. Medicine can help you cope with it, but you cannot stop it. Medicine has its limits, and it will never stop death. So life on earth is hard. It is a challenge. And life on earth really has not changed much in 2,000 years. Oh, the names and countries and peoples have changed, but man is just as sinful as ever, just as fallen and wicked as ever. He still stands up to defy God and his word, boasting in his own freedom and independence from God. Wars rage, regardless of what era you look at. Lust filled the heart of men in the past and in the present. Greed and anger still drive men to heinous actions. So what if our age is far more sophisticated than others? We are just as immoral and just as cruel. There's nothing new under the sun. For that sinful flesh has been passed down from father to son and from mother to daughter. It leads men to unspeakable actions. So here we sit, waiting for our bridegroom to come, waiting, knowing that he is truthful to his word. He kept his promise and came as a man at Bethlehem. He kept his promise and died for our salvation. And then he kept his promise and raised himself. So we are certain he will keep his promise and come to bring us where he now is. Soon he will scatter the darkness, and you will live in the light of his presence forever. There will be no more night, no more sin, no more disease, no more death, no more pain, no more suffering. For God will be your light, and the Lamb will be your lamp. Nothing impure, unclean, or sinful will ever enter that bliss of heaven. And so you wait. But the church still waits here on earth in darkness. You, many years have passed, and still you wait. Waiting for him to come. The longer that you wait, the easier it is to think that he's not coming anytime soon. What are the chances that he will come today? What are the chances even that he will come in our lifetime? So we get distracted by what we see, and we forget what our God has said. And we begin to wonder how much worse this is all going to get. How much worse could society get, or the world, or what will it be like for our kids or grandkids? But we cannot forget his word of promise. I am coming soon. To the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, but rather he is patient. He is patient because he wants more to come to repentance and faith in him. And so life continues to go on as it has for 2,000 years. The problems of yesterday are still the problems of today. Nothing really has changed. The problems of today will still be the problems of tomorrow. Nothing will really change. Oh, names and countries and dates will change, but at the heart of it, man just doesn't change. But the word and promise of God remains forever. I am coming soon. So keep watch. Be patient, dear Christian. Be patient as you wait for his return. I know your life probably did not go the way that you anticipated. It's not perfect. He knows it too. I know your sins can burden you and alarm you, how many of them there are, and just how blatant at times they are. But he forgives you all your sins. I know that as you peer out into this world, it can frighten you. It's progressive immorality. But he sees it too. And he is still the King of all creation. He is still your Savior. He is still the ruler over all things, not just many things or most things, but he rules all things for your good. So hang in there. Be patient. Do not let the darkness you see take your mind off of the word that he has spoken to you. He is coming soon. Wait with patient hope. Yes, I know that we're terrible at waiting. None of us is really good at it. It's easy to be patient when life is going the way that we want, but when things take a downturn, then it's very hard. It's easy to be patient when our body is healthy and strong, when our minds are sharp, when our family is together, when our job is successful. But when our job struggles, when our family is broken, either by self-inflicted wounds or even by death, and when our body is no longer what it once was, then we want to throw up our hands and cry out, "What are you trying to teach me, God?" Trying to teach you patience. Because we're not good at waiting. None of us chooses the longest line at the grocery store. None of us chooses the most congested drive home. We're pragmatic Americans. We want results and we want them right away, and we're willing to change anything if it doesn't go the way we want. So God uses these trials and sufferings to teach us patience. That we are waiting. And we are waiting while we trust solely in his word. All 10 of those virgins are waiting, including the 5 foolish ones. They too are waiting for the bridegroom to come. That is, they enter churches on Sunday. They call themselves Christians. They too are virgins. That is, they've lived a holy, good, and godly life. They too have lamps. That is, they study the word of God and they know it. But they do not have oil. Therefore, they do not have light. Christ is the light of the world. They do not have Christ. He is far from them. Faith is gone. They lack faith. So when the bridegroom arrives, they are not prepared for him. And the door is shut in their face, never to be opened again. Locked out in eternal darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, they receive one last word from Christ that will stick with them forever. I never knew you. Watch and pray. Patiently wait for the bridegroom to split the darkness, even as he did that first Christmas night and that first Easter morning. Do not give up. Do not give in. Hang in there. Persevere in faith because the time is short. God will keep his promise. Earnestly, your Savior warns you because he knows the time is short. Earnestly, he warns you because he loves you and he knows how weak and foolish you are. If you were not foolish, you would not sin. And so the wise recognize just how foolish they are and that they can never get to heaven on their own. While the foolish think they are wise. The wise know they are never patient enough. The wise know that they never are wise enough to hold on to this oil of faith on their own. while the foolish think they have brought enough and they're doing a pretty good job. So the wise always want to receive more. The wise run back to the word of God to hear his promise once again, I am coming soon. The wise run back to the font to hear God's baptismal promise yet again. I forgive you all your sins. You are still my baptized child. The wise hasten to this altar, for without Christ they are certain that the door will be shut in their face, never to be opened again. So watch and pray. Patiently listen to God's word. Take and eat. Receive the gifts that God gives you, for he is the one who prepares you for the day of his own arrival. And God will continue to pour out more love, more forgiveness, more grace on you. So what if your jar of oil is already filled? He'll keep pouring out his grace so that it will even overflow. There really is no reason we all should gather here together. Personalities, ethnicities, even politics are all different. We may have some things in common, but other times really nothing in common. And yet week after week we have gathered here. Week after week we come together because we are all waiting for the bridegroom. We're waiting for him. We're waiting to hear that trumpet blast. We're waiting to hear that archangel call out, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. We are waiting. And so we've gathered together with those who are waiting for our Savior. And so that we may be properly prepared with faith burning brightly in our hearts, we continue to receive God's gifts in word and sacraments. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.